past the stages of building our temple, we've come into the kingdom. And now that we are in it, it's possibly just something that we have to stay in to feel the presence of whatever the kingdom connotes. It's not going to take 6 days or 5 days or 4 days to make the journey from earth to heaven. Maybe we've consolidated quite a bit. It's going to take us each longer. The idea is that when we have reached the level of graduation, have come to the seven angels who are represented in the Bible by the seven angels who carry the vials that carry the message that illuminate all that is unlike God in your consciousness. So that your consciousness is now unobstructed. Then you go and you are very close to the Lamb of God, the Christ. I want to luxuriate in that presence. It just happens that the world celebrates that presence today. But we're celebrating the inner presence, not celebrating the outer presence. This is something that binds man together. On the outer plane, we're pick up a telephone, exchange a few words, send a letter. We receive letters. On the inner plane, our oneness is an experience. There's no intermediary. You feel the presence of the one. And that one is you. And that one is him. And that one is her. There's a silent bond. And in that silent bond, you are unobstructed. You feel the presence of the presence. And therefore, at this moment, you have reached a level of consciousness which you have striven many years to reach. I'm talking in a figurative way because I realize that we haven't reached that level yet. But we are going through the motions of reaching that level and trying to find the experience of what it would be like. At a touch of the finger, you're one with a fellow in anywhere in the world, and he with you. At a touch of the finger, any information you need about anything in the spiritual universe is there. That is invisible Is at your fingertips. You pass the human scene. And this is what comes one day. To a level, we each have it differently, but we each will reach it and are reaching it. Where God's kingdom becomes our kingdom. And the kingdom then becomes now. Yesterday, we were working toward it. Suddenly, I'm in it. There are no negatives. Nothing to overcome. You can never be any different than you are today. Nothing can go wrong. You never think about it. Idyllic state is the end result of knowing God aright. All that I have is thine, and you finally come into having all that God has. And we rest in truth. That have to be worn before you can reach this state. And we're going through them right now. Each of us represents a path on the way. This is the end of the path. We're going to stop and think what are the obstructions that we face. What is preventing us from walking into the kingdom? What is holding us here in the fourth state? We can each answer that in part. The things we're concerned about are holding us here. Concerned about what you're going to do on Tuesday morning. You're going to a job, or your husband's going to a job. There are some deals pending. Maybe you've got some relatives you've got to go to or come to you. There are things to be done. And when you think about them, they're all things of this world. I don't know who's here. I won't even ask. But who's here who will not be doing things of this world on Tuesday? That person is lucky. He or she is accepting something that we, who are busy on Tuesday with things of this world, whether they're joy or not, we don't know about. We just know that we have to do certain tasks. The task of that individual won't come to him until Tuesday. He won't even know what he's going to do Tuesday until it happens. And it will be something that has been sent from the invisible. Something measured out to his needs and something he can handle. Something that will express divine wisdom. There's a nowness spiritual living. See, all the clocks are turned away. No one can tell you the time in heaven. You wouldn't think of walking up to an individual and saying, what time is it? What time do I catch that train? I've got to be here at 4 o'clock. There are no clocks in heaven. There are no clocks in spiritual consciousness. God doesn't run by time. That's one of the cluttering details that disappears. You say, well, they don't get things done then properly. They're not synchronized. But I don't know how they do it. Synchrony is above time. Doesn't include time. It seems that what you have to do is done at the right moment. Where you have to be at the right moment. Of course, it only takes a second to get there. Movement is different. What you have to do, get in the car, to ride to another town, 50 miles or 60 miles or 30 miles, the time involved, it isn't there in the seventh heaven. You're there. It's consciousness that travels quicker than the speed of light. You're wherever you have to be or want to be, instantly. You're there already, right now. It's all within your own being, which is omnipresent. Did you notice that when you feel a quickening, somehow you get quicker where you have to go, you think quicker, things resolve themselves quicker? You don't know how you get so special at the time that your thinking is a little bit, it's just so lucid that you just have to think of something, to think of thinking of something, and there it is. That's when the brain is not obstructing you. You're living out of your soul. We want to move into our soul now. We want to see if what it's like to live without a brain mechanism that ticks away, and someday doesn't tick away. A thing that separates us from not being alive at one time, it's our source of life, our activity, all that we do, everything passes through your brain. Everything. You're really living in your brain. And to think that someday, this too, which seems to us to be a miraculous tool, we don't have it anymore. So this tool must have been copying something. It did a pretty good job, but it was copying something. And this tool becomes a little slower. The vision that it controls becomes a little blurred. The hearing that it controls can't quite make it out. Just imagine the miracle of a tool to control the five senses so well at one time, at their peak level, and then diminish, and yet that tool is not real. Something else is real. Something that hears what it has to hear without a sound. Do you know that you have that hearing without a sound? And that you can see without eyes? And that you will see without eyes? You will hear without ears? This is the miracle of the soul. It is possible to practice the use of the soul. To develop it. Many artists, in the great moments, see things that their mind doesn't see, their eyes don't see. They themselves don't even know they've been lifted up to a soul level. Fellows have more definition. People on sound have been made more acute. They can hear sounds that can't be heard by the human ear. They can hear the inner sounds, the inner harmonies. And when we hear them out here, we say, my, that's uncanny. That man's a genius. Compared to the mind, he is a genius. The soul has perception at every level of sound, every level of sight, every level of taste. And the soul is available to us. When we awaken from the sleep of the mind, which works in matter, which works in friction. Everything is without friction then, completely fluid. I don't know if at times you find that you hear better than others, but when you do find it, it's because the soul has taken over your hearing. And you're not hearing with the muscles of the ear. You're not hearing with the activity of the brain. That combination which produces human hearing loses its effectiveness because you're on a higher level. If you reach it first in this kind of fourth-dimensional hearing, which is really the kind of extrasensory perception brought up to its limitation and then above it. In other words, you're converted into an ear. You hear anything you have to hear, anywhere in the world. But you don't hear it on sound waves. You don't hear it on radio waves. You hear it on a soul wave. And the only way you can explain it is to hear it. Because when you hear these things and you realize that you can't hear them anywhere, that no one can hear them who's hearing them, then suddenly you know what's happening when you receive the inner voice. What does it come on? It doesn't come on waves that ripple. How does it get to you? there's a direct communication of a soul wave by your soul. When you hear the inner voice speaking to you, if it doesn't say much or it says a lot, no one else can hear it at the same time. No one is tuned into what you're tuned into. And before you get to that place, it takes a long, long time. That's because you're working on sound without the instruments of sound that usually produce them in this world. That's why the receptivity to the inner voice, the still, small voice, is so transfixing. You may be deaf, actually, may not even be able to hear people. And yet when you hear the inner voice, no one can take it away. It doesn't depend on your mechanisms. It would be interesting if a person were deaf, or able to hear the inner voice, and I'm sure there are quite a number. I'd rather be the person who hears the inner voice and is deaf than the one who hears everything but can't hear the inner voice. Sight is the same way. To look directly into the kingdom of heaven, though you're blind. Or to look at this world and be able to see it. There is that kind of vision. There is that kind of hearing. When we get a musical genius, we realize that something has happened to this man. He has been brought above the level of sound, and yet he writes notes that we play back, and we hear music of the gods. We can't understand it. We say, this is too much. Where did he get it from? How could one man do that? Well, actually, he didn't. It's just that he was tuned into something greater. The supreme artist is also tuned into something greater. He loses what he has. He transcends. And if you've had this experience, you know what a glorious experience it is, and how you feel like a child who is got a God inside him. Something happens. You're translated into another being. And then you realize what you've been working for all these years to reach that state. Because everyone in heaven is in that state. Everyone who has passed the make-believe limitations of this world is in that state. That's the state of God. All that I have is thine. I found a great deal of inexpressible joy in only reaching that state one at a time. Maybe once last year and once the year before, sometimes twice a year. But you are able to find a degree of intelligence that isn't human. It doesn't even think. It just is. And all of your so-called senses are lifted beyond themselves. Sound, sight, all that. It's like one infinite sense. It's very important to us to know these things are possible, because there's no point in striving to attain something that isn't attainable. And we're not striving to attain that particular type of vision or hearing. It's just that we will. It's automatic. And if we're properly prepared, something happens. And when you're properly prepared in a meditation, for example, you feel you're lifted. But when you're lifted, where did your body go? Why do I feel lifted? I don't feel a sense of weight anymore. There was no body to be lifted. You were relieved of the illusion of body. And how did you hear if you had no body? What made you think you have to hear through the ear? That's just a temporary convenience. You don't hear through the ear. You hear through the soul. You see through the soul. You think through the soul. The mind never was. And so we use that mind, crack down on it, try to make it do things that we want it to do. And always we're saying that we didn't know that there is no mind. The mind is the substitute, our facsimile of what the soul is. To be in soul consciousness when you translate. There is a soul consciousness. You won't be thinking anymore. And yet you'll know all you must know without thought. Take no thought for your life. Get into soul consciousness. I know that everyone has had a glimpse of these things. There are certain lucid moments when you see something you never saw before. It's certainly clear to you. Sometimes you look at a picture, for some strange reason, all colors blot out, but you see something that's there, which is higher than the colors. All the static, all the music. Suddenly, something else is there. It's a celestial song. That's why when you play certain music, you say, "This is heavenly." Unconsciously, you have said what it really is. Heavenly. You know, even in business, a man can have that experience. He doesn't know why, but the problem that had locked itself in his mind isn't a problem anymore. He doesn't know why. It was very complicated, many people involved. He feels it's all taken care of. Because there was a solution above the human level. In his state of consciousness, he was able to reach that solution. And all of the human problems just fall down. They all crumple. When you have the right solution, the problems aren't there. And when you live a certain way, when you find what might be called the mechanism, the invisible mechanism of life, the problems do disappear. Oh, you have them all right, but you know they're going to disappear. You're not worried about them. Why? Because your experience has told you that other problems have disappeared on a lesser level. And sure enough, today's when all the problems disappear. You call it your enchanted level. It's really the presence of the spirit. And I know everyone would like to reach that level, and I'm happy to report that I believe everybody will, because the Father has said all that I have is thine. So when you get a touch of the spirit, it opens one door, it generally comes along and opens other doors. Having come this far, let's consolidate it into a little meditation at the moment and get the feel of the unobstructed universe, spirit which floats in at a level different than the mental levels, the consciousness being divine, handling everything at the divine level, which is no level because it's infinite. Let's get a feeling of what it is to be in the middle of all the confusion of the world with no problem at all. Feel a certain kind of confidence. Which will not apply to any one situation. If you had a complicated problem in any field, when that moment arrives, a solution is in the wing. It may be a very difficult complication in handling affairs with people. When you have this consciousness, you can call right up in the most intricate level of the problem and say, Joe, I think we can handle it this way. All of a sudden it shows itself. What was unsolvable completely falls into place, all the bottlenecks fall away. I just hadn't seen it that way before. And I mean, there's no limitation to what's possible, because when you realize the solution, sometimes you may be told to do things that you wouldn't normally think you could do. This might involve seven movements in a certain place, and my God, who would do that? Well, Spirit says this is how you do it. Nothing too small, nothing too great, but every situation can be handled from the truth standpoint at the spiritual level. Doesn't matter how bad it looked in the human. Some you get to believe in the miraculous. And some you're performing in the miraculous. I know we haven't reached the point yet where we go through the wall, but how can you miss when the wall is matter and you will be aware of your spirituality? seem incredible to, impossible, you might say, to a telephone executive that someone could call from here to a distant place without a telephone. It was rather commonplace in the spirit. Stand and have their conferences and have their x-rays, look at the slides, and they can decide to do one thing or another. And the element of time is always involved. The time the heart will remain in operation, the time it takes to do the operation. Spirit, the element of time is not involved. There's no recovery time involved. There's no time involved for anything because the spirit is already where it has to be. The spirit is now. You find that something wonderful has happened, even for a space of time, that you're in a different thing in time, and it seems that everything you touch just responds automatically. You're in a now state, and you can't reach it by thinking about it or planning it. It has to happen. Feels white. That enchanted state, that elevation, is a level at which God is always present. That's why some healings are instantaneous. And then on the mundane level, it may take years. That's why the healings of Jesus seem to be right now. He was able to live in the now. He couldn't live any other way. That's the way Spirit lives. Now, when we turn the page, and we come to the case of any case of Jesus, the reader is seeing it one way in time, and Jesus is seeing it in the timeless now. But the reader can see it in the timeless now, too. Pace of human existence The girl looks dead. So the infinitely faster, speedier face of the Christ. She's very much alive. The heart beats 60 times a minute. I don't know. In the other case, you can't hear it beat. It's in a different elevation. You find at the moment that we're at a higher level than we were when we started. We're at the anything can happen level. I'd like you, therefore, raise your soul. Make an effort to. And let your soul become aware of all the people who depend on you, and you become aware of them. Feel the oneness. Feel your there-ness and their here-ness now. They will feel it too. Closer to you than they are in the human field. They're so close that you can touch their invisibility. In San Diego. I'm just reminding you.